Appreciate you coming. It is the Lord's Day, and it is the time that we come together to honor Him and to glorify Him. Good to have everyone that's here today. Especially it's good to see Debbie back today and have Nathan Peachy back with us. And I want to continue to remind the congregation that prayer is still in order for this family. So let's continue to remember them in our prayers as well, our private prayers at home as well. I've got the title up there on the screen this morning, looking at the Lord's Supper. And it occurs to me, as in many of the lessons that I put together, that oftentimes when I'm getting the lesson, putting things together, I think about where my shortcomings are and where I fall short. And I wonder if other people have the same problems that I do. Now, we take the Lord's Supper every Lord's Day here at Mount Zion. And we are commanded that when we take the Lord's Supper, that we do so in remembrance of Him. And as you heard what Jerry Stahl read to us this morning, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 what our attitudes need to be in doing this. But I wonder, because sometimes when I'm thinking about the Lord's Supper, and certainly it ought to be a quiet time when we take the Lord's Supper, as it is here at Mount Zion, what we think of while the Lord's Supper is being served, while we're taking the Lord's Supper. And speaking for myself, and for myself only, sometimes I have difficulty in concentrating about the things that I think that I'm supposed to be thinking about while the Lord's Supper is being served. A lot of places where you go, on their table up here, they'll have this will be carved out, and it'll say, in remembrance of me. You ever seen that? Any of you ever seen Lord's table that's done that? And that's a good reminder that we are to do this in remembrance of Him. But it may be because of the way that I was taught, or I thought that I was taught as a child coming up, that the only thing that I'm supposed to think of when I'm thinking of the Lord's Supper is a mental picture or a mental image of Jesus hanging on the cross after having been crucified with nails in his hand. And I believe that what Paul writes here in chapter 11 gives us a bigger picture than that. And if we continue to do that, as I find myself doing, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, I wonder if I'm not depriving myself of the meaning of the Lord's Supper if the only thing that I ever think of is just a picture of Jesus on the cross. It occurs to me that sometimes when we think of a departed loved one, that we certainly don't just remember that person with their demise. We think about the good times. We think about incidents, things that happened years ago, things that all make us happy. There are a lot of things about the life of Jesus while he was here on this earth that all make us happy. Should those things not be remembered? When we use that term, in remembrance of me, is it to be reserved only for the time that Jesus was on the cross? Only for the time that he spent in agony and in pain and in suffering on the cross? And I believe that the reading that we had this morning enlarges our thoughts about what we ought to think about Christ, about them. And so what I'm saying this morning here, that certainly we look backwards to the time that Jesus sacrificed himself as God's Son and shed his blood on the cross. And so certainly verse 24 tells us that we are to have a backward look. Certainly that is acceptable to God. So in verse 24, he says, do this in remembrance of me. But when we look back, everything that we know about Christ is in remembrance of him. First of all,
We've got this thing in our society today that says that the birth of Christ should only be celebrated at the Christmas season. You're allowed on Christmas Eve and on Christmas Day to think about the birth of Christ. You're only allowed at that time to think of Christmas. Anything else, we've got somehow an idea that it's just simply commercialization. Is it wrong to read about the birth of Christ some other time of the year other than December? And we'd say, well, that's preposterous. We can read that any time. God would want us to have that message at any time during the year. So we can reflect on His birth. That's in remembrance of Christ as well. Not just His crucifixion, but His birth as well. We reserve that period that man sometimes calls Easter only for the resurrection of Christ is to be thought about at Easter. And I say to you this morning that we're not doing Christ any great service if the only time that we're thinking of His resurrection is at Easter. We ought to be thinking about the resurrection of Christ every Sunday. That's part of do this in remembrance of me. If it were not for the resurrection of Christ, we could not be resurrected. And it just does not do justice to just think of the resurrection of Christ on Easter and no other time of the year. It's greater than that. It ought to be greater in our lives than that. We ought to be more appreciative than just celebrate it once a year. So what are we thinking about when we're taking the Lord's Supper, as we'll be doing in a few minutes this morning? I like to go back and think about the miracles of Christ. When is it appropriate to think about the miracles of Christ? Is it only appropriate to think about the miracles that Christ did at some time other than we take the Lord's Supper? And I say to you this morning that we could, as we reflect on what Christ did for us, and as we do so in remembrance of Him, that is acceptable, according to the Word, to think about His miracles. Proof that Jesus was the Messiah. And if Jesus was not the Messiah, then we wouldn't be doing what we are doing even then. What about His healings? Jesus could heal and did heal as no other person that's ever walked upon this earth. Now, true that He did extend this miraculous gift down to His apostles and by the laying on of hands, their hands to others in that day. But it was a wonderful miracle of Christ that many were healed. Is that not to be thought of during the Lord's Supper? Is that a forbidden subject at that time? Is that not part of the remembrance that we ought to have of Jesus Christ? And what about His teachings? Jesus' teachings were superior to anybody else's on this earth. Now, there's been a lot of good scholars on this earth. People like to go back and they like to think of the Greek scholars, of Plato and Socrates and some of the great minds of times past. And even times people who are considered to be geniuses today. But nobody could ever teach and ever did teach in a simplistic way that all of us could understand like Jesus did. In a Sunday school lesson, we've been studying about the parables of Christ. Nobody ever could teach in that simplistic way like Christ did. And what a good remembrance of Christ to think about the parables. And how often did His apostles, as Jesus told these parables, that were meant to be simplistic, meant to be used as a teaching method, how often did, even as simple as they were, that sometimes the apostles didn't understand them and they had to ask Him again for clarification. What a wonderful time to use those teachings, that Jesus was so superior to others in that teaching. And then, of course, His death. And that's what we seem to focus more on than anything else. But there are so many aspects of Jesus' life that His death is only one of them. It is inclusive in all of these. So when we look, according to verse 24, then we look backwards to that time. Then I think there's another aspect of it, and I get this out of verse 26. The Bible says in verse 26 of this chapter here, "For as often as ye drink this, eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death until he come." Now, he's not talking about backward anymore. He's talking about forward. He's talking about things that are to come until Jesus comes again. He's talking about future tense, not past tense, not the things that we've been discussing this morning, but things that are happening in the future. And so we look at that and we see it forward. Certainly none of us would say in remembrance of him and not think of that part of it that he wants us to think of as forward until he come again. I wonder how many times that I sit and take the Lord's Supper that I do not concentrate at all on Jesus coming again. And I wonder if I'm not doing not only a disservice to myself, but a disservice to him as well. Knowing that there's going to be a time that he does come again, but not associating it with the Lord's Supper. Not associating it with this private thing that I have with Christ when I take the Lord's Supper, just as you do. I want to point out that the parts of worship that we do, there are five acts of worship that we are commanded to do. Three of them are collective. That means that we are to do it together. One of them is singing, as we have done this morning. One of them is prayer. Whoever leads the prayer is the voice for the entire congregation, and so we pray together. It's not individually, but it is collective. And then, of course, not only that, but the preaching. We all take part in the same thing that we are studying together. One voice, but we all study the same thing together, not many different subjects. The other two is taking the Lord's Supper and giving, and both of those things are private. We think that we do it collectively, but we're really not doing it collectively. And I wonder how that we think of it. We sometimes even call this the collection plate, and it's extended to everybody. But what we're really taught about giving is it's on an individual basis. That we have a personal commitment between ourselves and the Lord. It doesn't involve anybody else. I'm not obligated. As a matter of fact, I'm forbidden to broadcast to all the rest of you what I'm giving to God. That's between me and him. What you give to God is between you and God. It's not my business. And as a preacher or elder, it's not my right, it's not my authority to come around and to nose into your business about what you're giving to God. I think it's my business to encourage you and to teach you what God says about giving, but it's not my place, and it's not my business to get into you what you're giving to God. That's personal. And there are so many scriptures that tell us. I like the one that Jesus talked about giving. It's not for show. It's not that I hold up $100 bill and wave it for the whole congregation. See, it's between me and God, whatever that amount is. And so that's personal. But taking the Lord's Supper, and when the Lord's Supper is served, it should not make any difference between me and God if nobody else in this congregation takes the Lord's Supper but me. And I think that it ought to be that way when you take the Lord's Supper. It's not my business to look around and see who else is taking the Lord's Supper. It's not my business. Taking the Lord's Supper is very personal, but it's between me and him. And those thoughts that I have ought to be personal thoughts. It ought to be respectful thoughts. It ought to be, in a sense, of glory, glory for him, honor for him. But it's not on a collective basis. And yet sometimes we think of it in somewhat a different way. Sometimes it can be a routine for us. We see the brothers all come up to the table Two of them stand here, two of them stand here, and they serve the congregation. Takes about 10 minutes to do all this, and then we go home. And I wonder sometimes if I have really given God the respect that He ought to have in remembrance of them. Do I ever look forward to thinking of the time that Jesus is coming again? Or do I just leave that out and think only by looking backward? There's another way of looking at the Lord's Supper, and that is looking outward. And looking outward at the Lord's Supper, I got this out of verse 27. Verse 27 says this: "For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats." I'm in verse 29. I'm sorry. I should be in verse 27. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." Now, I believe that as a Christian, that it's my responsibility to set an example of being obedient to the command of taking the Lord's Supper. We may have visitors here this morning who are not members of the body of Christ, and they will be observing the rest of us taking the Lord's Supper. And there could be a question, it's not likely in this group this morning, but there could be a question, often is in other places, why are you all doing this? Some people ask, why do you do this every first day of the week? That question often arises. But there might be other people that say, why do you do this at all? And obviously, except for the commandment itself that we do this, it may be difficult for other people to understand why that this is so important and why that Jesus wanted so much for us to remember Him in such a way, as the Apostle Paul has written to us, and as we find so many places back in the Gospels when Jesus first dedicated the Lord's Supper. And it's an outward thing that all the world should know. What a great day it is, looking forward to being with Christ. And then outward in that anybody who eats and drinks unworthy of it shall be guilty. And that's outward. A silent witness which testifies concerning Christ's death. By observing it, we testify to the whole world about His death, and so it's outward. We want the whole world to know the reason that we do this is to honor our Lord and what He commanded us to do. It's outward in that sense. And then, of course, the last part of it is inward, and that is in verse 28, and He says this: "But let a man examine himself." And when He tells me that, I think that I am given to understand that I'm not to examine somebody else. The Bible says, let a man examine himself. Let a person examine their own self personally. So I'm not to examine you. Again, I have no right and no authority to look at somebody else in the congregation today and say, I don't think you ought to be taking the Lord's Supper. It's not my place. It's not my business. One of the reasons that we do not have a so-called closed communion here at Mount Zion is because that we do not have the right to examine someone else. I have been places and have known of places that the communion is only served to specific members of that local congregation. You might be a member of the Lord's church, but not a member of that congregation, and they don't serve you the Lord's Supper because you're not one of them specifically. I say that that's examining somebody else. That's not examining yourself. That's examining somebody else. I had a very dear friend a few years ago.
He's passed away now, but there were certain occasions on Sunday morning when they passed the Lord's Supper, and he just passed it on to the next person, he didn't take it. And I didn't see this. I'm used to sitting up front with my back. And again, as I said, it's not my place to look around to see who's taking it and who's not. But somebody told me about it, and I asked him. I said, why? Do you not thank the Lord's Supper of that? He said, I just don't feel worthy. And so we had a discussion about that, and I said, if we felt worthy to take the Lord's Supper, none of us would ever take it. We are not worthy of the blood and the sacrifice that Jesus made. None of us are worthy. If we've ever sinned in this world, then that makes us unworthy within itself. And he said, well, sometimes that I feel like that I've been a worse person during the week or made too many mistakes, and I just don't feel like I ought to be taking the Lord's Supper. And I said, that's what you need it the worst. You need it more than you do any other time, as if there were other times that we didn't need it. And so this fourth part right here, the inward part of it, that's where I examine myself. And I don't examine myself to say, have I been such a good person this week that I feel worthy to take the Lord's Supper? If that is what I'm thinking the wrong thing. But we're worthy because the Lord makes us worthy. He takes away our sin. And so we examine ourselves. It is a personal thing, but between us and God. It's not for us to examine somebody else. It's not for us to say, you're not a member here, so you shouldn't be taking the Lord's Supper. I think there's a lot of things in these few verses that Jerry read to us this morning that helps us to understand how to take the Lord's Supper. Now, we're going to be taking the Lord's Supper this morning, just in a few minutes, and I'm going to ask you this morning, is the only thing you're going to think about is Jesus hanging on the cross and his blood being shed when you take of it? Do you think that that's all that Jesus ever wants you to think about him, is just that and nothing else? I think that there's been so many times that I've been in error taking the Lord's Supper because that's all I try to do, think about. And sometimes I think I've gotten in a rut in taking the Lord's Supper, just doing that and thinking of nothing else, when there is a whole array of things about the love of Jesus Christ that I ought to remember. How are you going to think of it as you take it this morning? Now, I realize that the lesson this morning is not a missionary type lesson. It's basically for those of us who have already obeyed the gospel of Christ and are subject to taking that Lord's Supper as we've talked about. But should there be here this morning who does not take the Lord's Supper because they are not one of Christ, you do not belong to Christ, we hope that you will take this occasion to become one of his children, and that will be one of your responsibilities, one of your duties, and one of your privileges to remember him. First the bread, which represents his body, and then the cup, which represents his blood. Do this in remembrance of me. Be my witness.